So when it comes to a house church, we have to look at the Bible and say, what is church by biblical definition? So one, it's a group of people who are called out, the assembly of people together who are followers of Jesus Christ, who have turned from the world and who are living for him. And just because you go to a church building or a place that you may call church, don't mean that you are a member of the church. You could be a member on the piece of paper roll, the membership roll that way, but you may not be a member of God's church, his body. So it's a people who have turned away from the world, who are living for him, who God's spirit indwells and lives in and lives through. And then we also see that the church has an order of service. We'll see that also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, around the 29th verse, where you see an example of people with different gifts. Because in 1 Corinthians 12, you see a layout of spiritual gifts that are actually a part of the Spirit, right? These are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. You see that also in Ephesians chapter 4, around the 11th verse. Even a little bit before that, you start seeing the scripture talking about that there's different gifts, there's different graces to do different functions. But around the 11th verse, you start seeing an identification of some leadership gifts that are in the body of Christ. So the church is made up of people who have different gifts. That the Holy Spirit, by his indwelling, makes manifest or use for God's purpose. And some people feel like oh, well, you get spiritual gifts when God's spirit comes into you, when he lives in you. The reality is the Bible says gifts and callings are without repentance. So God gives out gifts even before a person is even a Christian. Yeah, that probably messes up a lot of people. And that's actually in Romans 11 and 29, that gifts and callings are without repentance. That we see different people throughout scripture who had gifts, who had abilities, who had callings, but they were not followers of God. There's Old Testament, a prophet who God used. There's a king in the Old Testament who God used. There's people, soothsayers, even the apostles, on an occasion had to deal with one who was prophesying, saying these are men of God, and it was speaking and declaring by word of knowledge, basically, what was who these people were, and he got tired of it. He cast that spirit out of that person. But the reality is, it's overtaken. Those gifts and abilities are overtaken by a spiritual force which is not God. In the lives of people who are not followers of Jesus Christ, but they have gifts and they have callings because it's without repentance. So when a person surrenders their life to God, then God's spirit comes in and inhabits them and their lives. Jesus said, we'll come and make our abode with you, right? Our home with you. He comes and inhabits them, but he also takes over the gifts and the callings and abilities that a person has been given by God before birth into this realm. God planned things for people, purposes and destinies, right? And what happens is the Holy Spirit comes in, and these people have gifts and to edify the body, to build up, to strengthen and encourage, or play leadership roles or different things that God has designed them to do to cause the body to be more effective, and it fuels itself in the love of God, but also in the power of God and healing and miracles and deliverance and just insight from God and word prophecies or word of knowledge and word of wisdom from God. These are gifts of the Spirit. And then we also see that in Galatians 3 and 28 that it's people who are across borders from each other. I mean, they can be different cultures, different races. everything. It says, talks about there's neither Jew nor Gentile anymore. We're one. We're in the family of God. There is no division. Old Testament, it was a division. It was the children of Israel, who we know as the Jews or Hebrews, and the pagans, which was everything else, the Gentiles. So God has adopted us in the New Testament into his family. And we have now spiritual legal rights because of Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection, and him ascending to the right hand of the Father, which the Bible talks about. We ascended with him. We haven't seen the full manifestation of that because we're still on the physical earth, but we can experience that manifestation because we now are vessels that God can bring heaven to earth. And one of the ways he does that is through spiritual gifts and also the fruits of the Spirit, which is in Galatians chapter 5, around verse 22. And so we see that the church is an assembly of people who are called out from different backgrounds, different lifestyles, and they have been delivered and set free by God to do a work for him. And they are following the scripture. An early New Testament term was they followed the apostles' doctrine. And the apostles' doctrine was all about Jesus Christ. Because if you look at it, that's what we talked about. The kingdom of heaven and Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and what he did through his life, ministry, death, burial, and resurrection. This group of people who are called the church, they have spiritual gifts, right? They deal with spiritual warfare. They work together. They are all about the Great Commission, right? They're about the Great Commission to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, and to see lives changed and to make disciples. So, this is what church is from a Bible definition. So, just in case you missed it, one, they are a community of believers who've obviously are called out from different backgrounds, but they're a community of believers. They are submitted, number two, to God's word. Three, they are across cultural boundaries, denominational boundaries. There is no denomination in the kingdom of heaven, right? Four, they are dealing with spiritual warfare. They understand their enemy, right? And then five, they are following the Great Commission. These are people who are following the Great Commission. So, with that being demonstrated in a house church setting or a church in the marketplace setting, it looks like different in different ways because the Bible hasn't laid out a specific pattern of what church should look like. It doesn't say you should have a 20-minute or hour and a half or 2-hour sermon, and you should have 15-minute announcements. You should have worship going for half an hour. It doesn't say these things. These things are left to up to us as we listen to God's spirit, because we reach different people as the body. Even though we're in different locations, we're reaching the world together as the body of Christ across cultural, denominational, independent church structures and backgrounds. We're reaching the world together. So this is what God looks at when he sees his church, because he sees himself. And he sees the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ in the earth, that he loved on other people and cared for others and reached out to others, brought healing and deliverance and everything to other people. And we do this as a community through the different gifts and callings that God has given us. So when we do it through a house church setting, it can look like, as an example, you might have a time of prayer. You may have a time of reading or the word being preached. Unlike maybe most traditional churches in a institutionalized structure, you may not have one leader, just who's the main leader who's running everything. You'll have a group of leaders, because the church does, the scripture does show that there is elders who were put in charge of the local churches. And the rather their house churches or whatever, that you have a group of people who are put in place in leadership to care for those local churches. All right, so we'll go ahead and close this audio out, and we'll pick up in the next one.